This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. What is the purpose of the church? Do you think that the world will be a safer place if only we had a better understanding of our role in it? Well, stay tuned with us today as we explore Christ's words to us as sheep of His flock.
Today's text deals with Christ describing His church. We hope you will continue to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that there is no question about what you expect from your church and how it is to be built. Grant, O God, that we may read this passage of Scripture seriously and then seek to examine our own efforts in the building of this church according to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we may be faithful to the challenge of telling the story to all the people around the world, that in the end there may be one flock and one shepherd. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, the church should always be asking, according to Jesus, what is the purpose of the church? The church is now 2,000 years old, and through this long period of time, many voices have given pictures of the church, which are now difficult for people to feel that this is just what Jesus told us to do. Today in our text, Jesus gives us a very clear picture of the church. This gives the answer to the questions, who are these people who belong to the church, and what was and is the picture of the church today and its purpose and its membership? Jesus called it his flock, and he was a shepherd, and we were the sheep. Let me read to you the gospel for this day that is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 11. Here our Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming. He abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I have received from my Father. People who know Jesus and live in a relationship with him understand this very well. They understand that here Jesus is saying that he is calling his sheep. And who are these sheep? They are the people who live in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very clear to understand that Jesus wants that relationship between the flock and he, the shepherd, in a very, very personal way. That when he calls them, they may hear his voice and come. While the voice of a stranger they do not care about, but the Savior, when he comes, the shepherd, they understand. In this text, then Jesus, who calls himself the shepherd, and we are the sheep, says this, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the cross. He pays the price for the sins of the world. Peter has described this so very, very well. He writes, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep, young and going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. See how personal that is, people. When we talk about a personal relationship with God, there are times that some will say, you know, I don't quite go along with you on this point. I think that God is holy, he is the Almighty, and I am not to put myself on a level with him. That is true. Absolutely it is true. But this Almighty God wants us to know that even though he is God of gods and Lord of lords, he wants you to live in a personal relationship with him, and that you come to his son every day with your cares and your concerns and your problems, and he answers them. How else could we live in this tough old world? I thought of it the other day, as there was a big funeral in our church, and I prayed for our pastor that he would have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with those who had come. There was a young lady in our community. I never knew her, but I understand she was a talented woman and had many opportunities in this life. And yet, the consequences we'll not go into, what caused all of this to take place, because I certainly do not know. But here she is being buried. My eyes were not so much on her at that time, but as I walked through our entryway, I could see the people coming to the church. They were crying already. Their hearts were broken. A tragedy had actually taken place. A young lady who could have been so much was suddenly being laid to rest. I know that the cross is for us who die, that our sins may be forgiven, and that we may be restored into fellowship with God. And Jesus says here in this text, there is also the resurrection. Because I do not lay it down only, but I take it up, the resurrection. And here is that time when he will come and take us into the heavenly mansions, and we will be with him forever. That's the relationship. And so that's the group that he calls his flock. Only those who trust Jesus Christ are in that flock. But when we are in that flock, we are secure. And when we are in that flock, we have the assurance that we will live with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. For he is the overseer of our souls. Just again, think of the hardship. In this case that I have just used as an example, but the many, many broken hearts in our world today. God is there in the person of Christ and wants to minister. That's what the picture of his church is all about. The ministering shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. The one coming to us when we seek to go our own way and bring us back into the fold. This is who Jesus Christ is to the church. But then Jesus says in verse 16 of our text today, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too shall listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life for the sheep, only to take it up again. In other words, Jesus is saying, the flock is big. It has reached to the far parts of the earth, but I want it bigger. And what I am doing is sending out my sheep, who happen to be people who trust Jesus Christ, like you if you're a Christian, and me. And we are to tell this world about this great shepherd, that they can live with him. Where he sends us out, those of us who have tasted of God's love and grace, that Jesus loves them is our message that goes on the way with us, and the invitation comes from the Savior himself. Did you ever stop and think, if you are a Christian, one committed to Christ, who was the shepherd in your case? I mean the under-shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. Who was the one who came to you and said, I want to introduce you to the shepherd? And now you are a part of that one flock known as the Christian church, because that person or persons might have been a faithful servant of Christ and brought you this message of his salvation. Was it your father and mother? Was it your brother or sister? Was it another member of the family? Was it a good friend? Was it one who is very, very concerned about you? And he simply said, look, Jesus likens himself to the shepherd. He has laid down his life. He lifts it up again, that you might be his forever. He has been crucified and raised to pay the price for the sins of the world and to win the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Christ wants that picture of his church made abundantly clear to this world. For not all in this world are a part of the flock. Sometimes that mistake is made in the proclamation of the gospel. We want Jesus Christ to go beyond what he has promised. Remember, he is saying that within this world, there is the flock. He would love to have all in the flock. For his word said God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But sometimes we say, no, I don't like that thought. I don't like that relationship. I do not want to be beholden to anybody, not even to Jesus Christ. They face this world then, if that be the case, with their only strength and power to go on. Think of what we would have to go through day in and day out. Life is filled with many pleasures, I will agree. But over the span of time, there are some very, very hard knocks. There are times that we're almost in despair. And to think of what it is to meet those without Jesus Christ. Dying without a shepherd who loved them to the end, but they simply would not. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? It is here that we are to tell them the story of the Good Shepherd. Now that we've had this much introduction to this text, let me read just a part of it again. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Oh, there is a hired man. He does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs because he is a hired man and he cares nothing for the sheep. We have a lot of people who care for us, but they're humans. And when push comes to shove, they may run. But not so with Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own. And my own sheep know me. And I want to live in that personal relationship with you. That's from you to me. And I want you to live in that same kind of relationship from you to myself. I need you. I need you very badly to go to all these other possible sheep who are now today not sheep. I need you to go to that relative. I need you to go to that friend. I need to have you go to that person where God all of a sudden just opens up the door and you have an opportunity to say a word for him that he or she might get interested. And the Holy Spirit may guide and lead them and build faith in their life. And the flock is one point bigger because of you or me. That's Jesus' picture of the church. That's quite different, isn't it? Quite different from what we sometimes hear, that the church is primarily a group that teaches fine morals in the church, does acts of mercy. It is that. There's no question that the best morals that have ever been given to this church have come to us from Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But can't you see that that's a minor purpose for the church? The real purpose is the redemption of the human being. Sobering it is to live through this life without him. And certainly sobering it is to enter into eternity without a personal faith in Jesus. So that's a real challenge to the sheep. As the shepherd says, go on out now. I'm going to have you build my flock. And the Holy Spirit will accompany you, for you in yourself could not do it. But you'll be his instrument. and just see where he takes you and really what happens. What about being a shepherd to the little lambs? A few weeks ago, my wife and I had the wonderful joy of having a great grandchild. This is our first one from three of our children. And we are rejoicing and we're thankful and we're praying. His name is Benjamin Dane. And Benjamin gets our prayers every day. Naturally, like your family, our family sent us picture. And I can sit there and look at those pictures and just ponder for 5 or 10 minutes. This is my grandson. And then I let my mind go a little bit further, and I see the world and how difficult it is. And I wonder what Ben will one day have to encounter. I don't know. And I pray the best for him. I know that he'll have a family who will give him the very, very best. They'll shower love upon him. He'll never have to be a person who didn't have any love. They'll see that he's well cared for in material things in every way. They will also be sure that he has the best education. And the many little talents in that body will be used. We pray for the kingdom of God and for the betterment of this world. So we who are the shepherds, the under-shepherds in our family and around among his friends, who will be his friends someday, have this great challenge and this great privilege to say, Ben, let me tell you about Jesus. You can't get along without him. But he'll make life real and loving and full for you. That's Christ Church. And that's the challenge that he gives to you and to me. It is a church that is concerned about this world. Don't you sometimes, as members of the church, and now I'd like to talk especially to those of you who consider yourself confessing Christians, don't you think we have some way to reach out? It seems like every night there is news from somewhere in these United States. Some terrible things happening. A mother takes her children and kills them. A husband comes in and kills his wife. It seems to be almost nauseating. And whether the press gets a great response from this, or rather they feel it is an obligation to let the world know what's going on, is not for me to say, but it puts a burden on my heart. Would all of this be happening if the church only had a correct understanding of the picture of the church as it has been given to us by Jesus? To touch that life and to let that life be a part of that flock. Now, there is a great deal of information here that we take in faith. It is a very simple story that has to be taken in faith. It cannot be explained. And so some discard it and say, well, those are nice stories, but we just can't have it this way. We have to have something that's far more profound than this. Do we? Do we, friend? Why not just be a part of the flock? Be a part of the shepherd? to minister to the lambs and to everybody who yet stands outside the flock. Give it your careful thought. Make it a part of your prayers. Amen.
Lord,
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our shepherd and that you will stand there with us saying, cast all of your cares on me, I care for you. And we'll say, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Lord, while we are here, we pray that we might be the under shepherd and we may go out and reach others who do not know you, that in Christ they may be a part of the flock. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon encouraged you to continue serving our great shepherd every day as his obedient sheep. We'd like to invite you to become a partner in our ministry by joining our Gift Every Month Club. Gem Club donors give a regular gift each month to help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners who are sick or homebound. For your convenience, you can have your contribution taken directly from your Visa or MasterCard each month. To join Gem Club or to receive more information, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders has designated April as Listener Letter Month. We invite you to send us a note or email letting us know where you listen and what the ministry has meant to you. By keeping in touch with our listeners, it helps us to be better stewards of the gifts that we receive. All who respond will receive a special Christian Crusaders DVD. You may write to us at Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or send us an email at info@christiancrusaders.org. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray you will join us again next week on Christian Crusaders, now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.